Before I get into the sermon, I just want us to offer ourselves to the Lord. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Okay, in view of God's mercy. And he's not an angry God. He doesn't want to punish you. In view of God's mercy, look at what he loves us so much, he sent his only son, Jesus. And from that thankfulness, from that gratefulness, we offer ourselves to God. Not from fear or guilt or shame or pressure or performance. In view of God's mercy, let's offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, the Bible says, holy and pleasing to God. As a thanksgiving offering, let's offer ourselves to God. God, my talent, my time, my money, my thoughts, this body, Lord, my eyes and what I look upon, my past, my present, my future. I offer myself to you, Lord. And the Bible says this is your true and proper worship. And God's people said, amen. The passage for today is in Psalm 95, verse 2. I'm continuing the series on imitating Christ, and this is a Thanksgiving service, and the theme is be thankful for. And in Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Right? Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. This passage, what it says is, when we come into God's presence, when we draw near to God, when we love him, when we know him, the natural response is thanksgiving. Okay? It's thanksgiving. And so, you know, in dark times, when we're going to all go through this, when you feel weak, when you feel depressed, when you feel frustrated, when you're tired, when you feel overwhelmed, what's going to happen is people will start to bother you, you know, and negative thoughts come into your mind, and it starts to have a foothold in your mind. And over time, okay, if you don't overcome it, over time, you become increasingly judgmental and critical. And you start to see glass as half empty and not full. You know, you become more negative. You complain more. You blame people more. And you become, it goes, you know, darker. You become less and less teachable. And you start to lose personal spiritual battle. You get stuck spiritually. You lose the battle of the mind, an important relationship, you know, starts to develop cracks and become weaker, and you stop growing spiritually. And instead of growing spiritually, becoming more mature, you become more hurt. There's more offense that you carry in your heart, and there's more spiritual bondage in your life. So, what is something that we can do, okay, to stop this? What is something simple that we can do? What can make you and I, you know, start coming out of that dark hole? Right? And there's a very simple biblical solution. Be thankful. Okay? Be thankful. And I want to talk about three areas that I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself to be thankful for. First one is kind of difficult. Be thankful for the storms in your life. Okay? Be thankful for the storms in your life. And when I need to qualify that. You know, don't be thankful for evil, you know. I don't think it's asking us to be thankful for the difficulties and the suffering. But in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face. It doesn't say, be joyful about the trials, you know, of many kinds. No, no. So whenever you face trials of many kinds, when you are joyful, okay, in the midst of the trials, different trials that you're facing, meaning when you are thankful, you find what you're doing is you're facing the trial. You're not scared of the trial. You're not running away from the trial. You're not complaining about the trial. But I believe in the midst of the trial, as you're going through different difficulties, you're being spiritually attacked, somehow you find something to be thankful for, you're facing the trial. You're able to face the trial. See, when you feel overwhelmed by trials, difficulties, and suffering, and when you don't know what to do, when you're confused, and, you know, there's anxiety and stress, what I challenge you to do is start to offer up thanksgiving. Speak it out. Look for it. Proclaim it. And then what happens? Oh, just that simple act of thanksgiving, the trial starts to feel lighter. Huh? It does. The trial is not so overwhelming anymore. Trials become an opportunity. Trial means it gives you a little, you know, in the midst of all this pressure, it gives you the space. When you start giving thanksgiving, it gives the space to breathe spiritually. It gives you the space. And then, this is my personal testimony. When I start offering up thanksgiving in the midst of the different trials that I face, it gives me space and it allows me to breathe spiritually. And some of the deepest prayer in my life is released during that time. Some of the greatest encounter that I ever had with God came during that time. And it started with under pressure, in the midst of trial, I started just going, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for my family, my children. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, God, that I'm not sick. And it gives me this breathing room spiritually. And my prayer will go deeper. And my encounter with God will go deeper. Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Philippi, he was in prison. He was facing death. He was chained to a prison guard 24 hours a day. People forgot about him. There was so much gossip. You know, some of you, if somebody's talking about you behind your back, you feel so overwhelmed, right? Well, there was so much gossip around Apostle Paul. He was being criticized by non-Christians and Christians and Jews. And there were so many people that wanted to see him dead. And you know what he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, right, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Most people know how to be thankful when there's great provision, when there's breakthrough, when there's miracle, when there's protection, when there's healing. But Apostle Paul was thankful when bad things were happening to him. That's why, you know, and he practiced what he preached. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And what does he say? For this is God's will for you. It's a personal thing. You know, you might go, what is your will if you're a college and major, God? You know, what job? Where should I live? Well, here is a very, for you, is a personal will of God. In Christ, it is God's will. It is not just your personal choice that you're making. It is a choice God is asking you to make. And what is that choice? Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. See, Paul didn't focus on the circumstances, the difficulty, what the devil was doing, what he was feeling, what other people were doing, or what other people were not doing. He's saying, here's the truth. And I'm going to be driven. I'm going to drive my life by truth. Not lies, but truth. And what is the truth? It is whatever is God's will is truth. Okay? It is God's will that I be thankful. And Paul agreed with the truth. Not just agree. You know, people tend to agree with the truth when it's convenient. But Apostle Paul agreed with the truth when it was inconvenient. See, when you are thankful, you are agreeing with the truth in the midst of lies. When you are thankful, you are holding on to the truth. See, when you are thankful, you believe in this truth. You're holding on to. When you're not thankful, the truth are just information in your head. But when you are thankful, what are you really believing? My life is a gift of God. The Lord has a bigger dream for me than I can ever imagine. I have the gift of eternal life. I am completely forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are more than conqueror in Christ. I am a new creation. No matter how difficult the trial, if you're thankful, what you're doing is you're holding on to the truth. The old is gone. The new is here. God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is sovereign. My God is so generous, and he will complete. You see, when you're thankful, you're holding on to this truth. He will complete the work that he is doing in me. He is with me. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. The Bible says you're holding on to this truth. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. See, when you're thankful, even though there might be 3 or 4 different trials that you're facing, there's spiritual battle, when you're thankful, you're choosing to hold on to 7,000 promises and truth in the Bible. Huh? I could have went on and on all the truth and all the promises of Scripture. When you're thankful, yeah, you could be facing 3 or 4 trials, and it's a difficult trial, but you're connecting yourself to 7,000 promises, 7,000 truth that's in Scripture. And when you're thankful, you connect your heart to the truth. You start believing in it, and you put your faith in it, and those truth and promises start flowing through you when you are thankful. Not desperate, but thankful. Amen? Number 2, be thankful for your future. So speak it, proclaim it. God, I'm thankful for my future. Okay? See, the Bible, biblical teaching on thanksgiving, being grateful, it says be thankful all the time. Consistently be thankful. Constantly be thankful. Continuously be thankful. Don't stop being thankful. Always give thanks. Okay, if you go to Scripture, that's what it says about thanksgiving. Huh? And so, it means let's be thankful for our past, our present, and you should not stop there. Okay? If you want to biblically apply biblical teaching on thanksgiving, you continue. God, I am thankful for my future. My future. You see, you know, some of the young people here, you might not have no idea about what to do in the future. What should I do? What's my goal? What's my purpose? What job, God? What ministry? What destiny? What passion? I'm saying this in love. You know, it doesn't, just because you don't know, it doesn't mean because, just because you have no idea, that doesn't mean you stop being thankful. You have to be continuously be thankful about your future. Maybe some of the older people here, you try different things. Okay? You try different things. And you thought, you know, when I was 30 years old, I thought God gave me this dream and I invested and I went all for it and then it didn't work out. It didn't work out. Because it didn't work out, it doesn't mean you should stop being thankful for your future. See, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this. For although they knew God, okay, they knew God, but something really hurt them, okay? There's two things they didn't do. They didn't glorify him, and this is related, you know, as God, nor gave thanks to him. It's like peanut butter and jelly, glorifying and being thankful, okay? It goes together. They neither glorify God or gave thanks to God. And what does the Bible say? But, and their thinking became futile. And their foolish heart were darkened. Right? When they knew God, but they stopped being thankful. And when you stop being thankful, what happened? The Bible says their thoughts became futile and their heart were darkened. They were lost. Their life was purposeless. Without thankfulness, their thinking was cut off from the purpose of God. When we don't respond in thankfulness, we start making choices outside of the will of God. Ultimately, it says, you know, their heart became darkened. Instead of the future, you know, even though you might not know it, but just be thankful for it. Because when you stop being thankful for it, your heart becomes dark. You fall into other sins. You lose your identity in Christ. You continue down darkness. And one thing about darkness, there's no end. You know, you could go deeper and deeper and deeper. Darkness is like an endless pit. There's no end. And when you go on that path, you might think, it can't get any worse. Yes, it can. Why do they go into that darkness, this endless pit? They stop being thankful. You know, there are you and I, all of us, you know, we'll go through that time. I don't know what to do, what I'm supposed to do. You know, maybe the future looks bleak. Future looks confusing. Future might look hopeless. And you want to give up. The answer is not more information. It's not greater prophetic words. It's not more money and more resources. The best place to start, simplest place to start, offer up thanksgiving. Start being thankful. Continue to offer thanksgiving. Don't stop offering thanksgiving. And then it creates this space for God to move in your life. God will start moving circumstances start to change. There's more anointing. And you start walking in the destiny of God. Not because you had the right information, but because you start being thankful. And when you start being thankful, your heart is not darkened, but is in the light. And God starts to change you. And when God changes you, God uses you to change the circumstances. Why? One simple act of thanksgiving. Okay. Number three. Be thankful for the people in your life. Okay. Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, this is what he says. Every time I remember you, I get depressed. Okay. Every time I remember you, I get angry. I get upset. No. It's just every time. Can you imagine? Every time I remember you, I thank my God every time I remember you. Huh? And you see, relationship is important. Okay, say that together. Relationship is important. If you really believe that, okay, we got to make this commitment. Don't get disillusioned about relationship. Yes, in this broken world, people will hurt you. They will disappoint you. Maybe even betray you. Reject you. But never give up on relationship. Right? And one way, right, one simple biblical way that you don't give up on relationship is that you are thankful for the relationship. Be thankful for the relationship. Say to your neighbor, I'm thankful for you. Okay? Say to your neighbor, you bring out the best in me. Yeah. Why? Because that's what God's intention for relationship. It is relationship that causes us to grow spiritually. God gave us one another. There's a lot of difficult things going on around us in this world. There's many difficult things going on. But God gave us one another to go through the difficult time. You know, we might be praying, God, help me through the difficult time. Okay? How many of us pray that? God, help me through the difficult time. All right, look around. God gave us one another to help us. That's the answer to prayer. Okay? That's the answer to prayer. You know, doesn't matter what you have, how big the house or how big the TV screen or how nice, luxurious your car. If your relationship stinks, your life stinks. Your relationships stink. Your life stinks. And you got to go missions, you know. Some of the places that I've been to in Africa, South Asia, Nepal, going to a little village and have nothing material-wise. But kids are running around, you know, just laughing. And we'll sit around for hours drinking tea and joking around and laughing together. You know why? Because they have deep relationships. They don't have material things, but they have deep relationship. And they're joyful. And together, because of relationship, we can do great things. Right? If you're here going, you know, God called me to do great things. And if you don't see it as something, if we have to do it together, it's not God. If you could accomplish something by yourself, then it is not God's purpose for you. Anything great is done through relationship, not by one person. Right? Amen? So what does it mean to be thankful for the people in your life? Apostle Paul is saying here, you know, I remember when I think about you, the good things. I remember the good times. You see, if you don't remember the good things, the good times in your relationship will stumble. It will crumble. Your marriage. If you're at a place, you know, you've been married for 20 years, and your marriage is 20 years, it was so difficult. Everything was so difficult. Honeymoon was so bad. Every day was so hard. Your marriage is in serious problem. No, it is in serious problem right now. Your family, your mom, your dad, only negative things you remember. Your friends, church members, the church, only negative thing. Only thing that comes out is complaints. There's serious problem there. Right. See, this is how the enemy destroys relationship. I've seen this again and again and again. I've seen, like, I don't understand. I look at the relationship. There were good and there's bad. That's what happens in relationship, in a fallen world, in a broken world. Right? If you only see good, that's something wrong too. That means you don't really know that person. No, I'm serious, you know. I don't know why. You know, like K-pop, you know. Some of the young people, they look at BTS. You know, they're gods. Right? They can't do anything wrong. They say hi. That was the greatest introduction I ever saw in my life. You know why? You see, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But this is the truth. It is the truth. Okay? It's because you don't really know them personally. Okay? But when you do get to know each other personally, you know what love is? You see the fault. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to you. I'll save you. You become a Christian when you make no mistake. That's not love. For God so loved the world. Why? Because we're sinners. We made a lot of mistakes. And real love is being able to love when we make mistakes. But in relationship, I've seen this again and again. Like, oh, you know, I thought it was good, and there was some bad. But every time in the relationship, they only, I don't know, it's all bad. The relationship breaks. It doesn't have hope. It breaks apart. You see, in any relationship, especially deep relationship, there will be good and there will be bad. There will be encouragement and there will be discouragement. There will be revelations and there will be lies. There will be deep understanding and there will be misunderstanding. There will be what God is doing in the relationship and there will be what the devil is doing in the relationship. And to be able to discern and to be able to grow in relationship, not just darken the whole relationship, be thankful for the relationship. And you're able to appreciate the good. And together, you can overcome the weakness when you're thankful for the relationship. You know, James chapter 3 talks about a great forest that is set on fire by a small spark. And in the context, it's talking about, I guess the relationship's so bad, small spark is just complaint and negativity coming out of the mouth. And deep relationship, you know, can be destroyed. The whole forest fire could be set, you know, destroyed. But how do you overcome that spark? By being thankful for the relationship. If it doesn't, that the Bible in James 3 talks about that little spark corrupts the whole body. How do we put out that small spark? Be thankful for one another. Again, say to each other, I'm thankful for you. So thankfulness gives power to go, you know, deeper in relationship. It's not a perfect relationship. It's not. Some of the things really bother you about me. Some of the things really bother me about you. That's relationship. That's relationship. But I cannot stop. I can't cease being thankful about you. And you know, when I pray for, I mold that all the time, but most of the time, I start out my, thank you, God, for Catalyst. And then I start naming off different people. Thank you for this person. Thank you for this person. Thank you for blessing this, what's going on in their life. Right. And so again, in relationship, and God's calling us to go deeper, longer you know someone, you know, more fault you will see in them. But if you stop being thankful for them, you start taking them for granted. You start to focus on their faults. You open yourself up to demonic attack in the relationship. And there will be division. So how do you overcome this problem in relationship? The biblical simple solution, answer, is be thankful for that. You know, when God, if the Bible says God created the universe, you know, and it was good. And in Psalm 139, it says, the Bible says, God, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Okay? So God in his creation, God created the universe, and the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it was good. And then God created human beings. You know what the Bible says? It is very good. Right? Put the different people, you know, your spouse. Speak it out from your heart. It is very good. Your children, your child. She is very good. He is very good. Your family member, yeah, very good. Church members, friends, it is very good. And God's people said, okay, worship team, can you come up?